Hi, you guys. It's Jenna here. For a quick interruption, I just want to warn you up front that there is no donut of the day or the week in this episode. Sometimes you spread yourself too thin, okay? Every episode after this, however, does have a donut of the week. So, enjoy.
Hello. How are you?
Okay, so we're keeping it here.
Okay,
keeping it right. Yeah.
There.
Sounds good.
Going to that dot there.
Basically.
No. No, that's too much.
You have like a really
deep.
You like carry.
Oh.
Which makes sense since you're like
a teacher,
a singer.
Oh, a singer. Yeah.
A Broadway star.
Yeah, but not for years.
This is why I failed your class. Spoiler alert, I didn't actually fail his class. I failed a marking period, but why would you click on something that said why I failed your marking period? Duh, yeah. It's stupid. Anyway, hey Ted, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. I got a lot of things done for the website for Tom T by Jenna. You can buy my t-shirts at ilikeTomHanks.com. Soon, the site's launching. See how capitalism makes its way in?
Yes.
Everything. But you were at school today.
Yes, I was.
Mm. And how was that?
It was good.
Good.
It was good, yes.
It's so interesting to see, to not be a student anymore and then to live with a teacher.
Well, it's really strange these days, too, being a teacher because half your kids are on video and the other half are in your classroom, you know, so it's very strange.
That is wacky. And you juggle that every day. Is it like a new thing every day?
I'm twice as wiped, I think.
Okay, that's good to know.
When you're around kids all day, you get a certain energy and you leave with that energy. But when it's like this, it's kind of draining, I feel. You know, I feel it's kind of draining because I can't really, even the kids who are in the classroom, they're facing forward. Their backs are to me.
Backs are to you.
Yes.
That's really weird.
When they're all at home. Because when they're all at home, there's a equality there, you know, of time and energy. And I can see everybody and ask everybody some questions, get them to participate.
Yeah, but this way, like, your attention is so split.
Yeah.
And that's just a whole other job. Yeah. Oh, so this is everyone what teachers have to deal with right now. And
during COVID,
like, lest we not forget, is that a proper term? I just, like, we are in the middle of a pandemic. Okay.
Those are my allergies.
He's scaring the shit out of me recently with these coughs. Oh my god, I worry. But yeah, we're doing the best we can. But today on Why I Failed Your Class, we're gonna talk about one of the reasons I failed. Mm-hmm. Just in case you guys want any advice on how to fail a class. No, but this first reason, or rather second, since this is episode 2, is being afraid to make mistakes and not understanding that I'm allowed to make them. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only student who feels like that. Mm-hmm. So.
And, you know, this is the end of the first marking period this year.
Oh, shit.
This week.
That's a so certain type of.
A lot of kids failing right now. Who didn't put the work in, you know, if they don't put the work in, what can you do? You gotta say, okay, I have nothing to
grade, Jenna. You literally didn't hand anything in.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to.
And if you're quiet, like half of those kids who are not participating,
then you're double screwed. Yeah.
Good thing with Jenna, she participated. Won't shut up. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, she participated in a good way, though.
Once I got more comfortable in your class, I definitely think I participated more.
Yeah.
But, so, mistakes. Ugh. Google defines mistake as... One sec. I looked up what mistake means just so there's no room for error.
Mistake.
Mistake. Two syllables.
Yes.
Is an action or judgment that is misguided or wrong. Okay, those words sound so sharp.
Misguided or wrong.
Jesus. And no. Then similar error.
Misguided
fault.
Is right for you.
I guess so. But then that's talking about my inherent mistake of not trying. But I'm talking about being feared of being wrong. Or
that's
inaccurate.
Misguided, though.
Yeah.
The fear of being wrong?
No, yeah. But I mean like the things that I... Yeah.
What do we learn from? We learn from our mistakes. So the fear
Today's
of making a mistake.
Today's episode is sponsored by the word M. The letter M. but that is true, and that is a point that we are going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the baseline definition of mistake, that's what Google gave us. And similar words are error, fault, inaccuracy. I was definitely scared of inaccuracies in your class, so then I just straight up didn't try. Slip, blunder, that's a cute word. Gaffe, faux pas. Hey Bernard. Misapprehension, slip up, boo boo. That's cute. That's a cute one. If
boo-boo,
I was a kindergarten teacher, I'd be like, oh, you just had a boo boo.
Do you know who Smokey the Bear is?
Kind of.
His little friend Boo Boo.
I don't know.
Boo Boo was always making mistakes.
Shit, I missed out on some key cinema.
Yeah, great cartoon.
I never watched that cartoon, but I
it was
heard
how to prevent forest fires, making you very aware.
That sounds very California to me.
It was very California.
We can't also, lest we not forget, we are here with a West Coast baby. And so, you know, he's less jaded and than me, born in the Garden State.
Yes.
With all these...
What state did you call it, the...
Garden?
Oh, the Garden State, okay.
Where Newark is everyone's first impression of us, like the airport,
oh
just like factories all over. That sucks. One day I'll make it to the Gold Coast. But so yes, now that we have the definition of mistake covered, I want to ask you something. What was your best mistake of the week, Ted?
My best mistake of the week?
Yeah, I'm trying to reframe how we think about mistake by saying, what's the best one of this week? King.
I can't think of what my...
That's okay. We can circle back to that.
Yeah.
Because I can't really either.
Yeah,
I made some mistake. I feel like I could probably note some mistakes I made yesterday at Food Not Bombs. Like, that could be fun. Maybe
I put
the
frying pan on to
it
to
doesn't
clean
have to
it.
Be up this week. Okay. I found somewhere here.
Yeah.
And we're literally, like, this podcast is, like, we're just choosing which mistakes we want to make. And I want to make creative mistakes, which is why I'm, you know, still learning how the hell to work this microphone and how to edit and how what's the best system for us. So right now I'm literally typing notes.
You know, for me, though, too, coming home from school and doing this right after school, I have kids on my mind. I have kids.
True.
So, because I do a lot of reflecting about what's going to happen tomorrow based on what I've seen happening today. And so that's why I have this one boy on my mind, because he is somebody who, I have this group of boys, actually, who are labeled bad kids, basically. And I've realized I've had them now since in the classroom for about a month. And I realize that, you know, that they are kids who can't read. They avoid doing their work, you know. So I told them my story, how I couldn't read either, and I had, you know, it took me a long time what I had to do to learn how to read. And so I've been teaching them how to read very closely, and, you know, not just skim through things and just answer the questions, to really try to read. And so we've been reading out loud. I give them 15 minutes of reading time where we read out loud and we talk about what we read, and they have that chance to show us what they can and cannot do, or what they think they cannot do. And then today, after those 15 minutes, they can work on other schoolwork that they are having problems with. And nice. So I help them with that. And so they came to me with their English teacher's work. And so I realized that, you know, after we talked, he's in Spanish and English, that he really didn't pay attention to what was going on. And that's because he couldn't focus, because it had to do with all these words that he didn't understand. So we looked at each sentence first and talked about the vocabulary and everything. And then he read to me. And then we looked at the structure that he was supposed to be learning, which was parallelism, you know, within a sentence. This is a boy who doesn't speak a lot of English. I'm like, well, that's a huge concept for someone to have to learn, you know, who doesn't speak, you know.
It's a lot of scaffolding that needs to be done.
A lot of scaffolding. But
you can't just hop into parallel.
Right. But right now, they trust me because they're not afraid to make their mistakes.
Well, that's really important.
Yeah. So in the conversations that we had about failure and about not trying and about how if you don't fail, you're not going to succeed and stuff like that. So.
I'm just thinking about the label bad kids.
Yeah.
That's not.
I know.
That's very limiting.
Yeah. You know they're not bad kids because they're very polite too.
Okay.
You know, they'll do something wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Shuffler. I'm sorry. You know, I'm like, okay, well, let's move forward. I mean, making a bad choice, like maybe standing up and yelling across the room.
Yeah, that doesn't even mean, yeah, that's like the thing we're trying to get at too, is if you make a bad choice, you're not bad. You're not a bad choice. Yeah. I think, I remember we had our meeting and I was telling you how sometimes I like to think of it, like I saw something probably on Instagram, and it was like, the events that happen to you or whatever aren't you. Like, if you had a dentist appointment this morning, that doesn't mean you become a dentist appointment.
Right.
If you make a mistake in the morning or whatever, that doesn't mean you're that.
You're that.
It's just a thing that happened.
Yeah.
But labeling kids as bad, I don't think that garners an environment where you're feeling free to make mistakes. You think you are a mistake.
One of the kids was coming to the classroom today. I let him go to the, I mean, said, yeah, he'd go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom. He comes back. And I said, just close the door. And I said, put the thing in the door. I said, put the thing in the door. Well, what's the thing? Well, for the last 2 years, we have this magnetic thing that you just slide in so that the door doesn't close.
Yeah.
And it's something that all the classes have and everybody knows about it really.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say the magnetic thing. I just said the thing. And he's like, what is it? What is it? You know, and looking around and that can't thing. Find it. And then one of his friends gets up to show him, and I show him, and he goes, oh, I'm so stupid. And I said, you're not stupid. Don't use that word. We don't use that word stupid in the classroom. I use the word thing, okay? So, you know, I should have said the magnetic. Magnet, actually, magnetic thing.
No one was wrong. Like, it's like, yeah, it was just a flouncy thing. But that sometimes when that's all the messages you're receiving, you take them really personally.
Yeah.
You just want to be perfect. But the thing is that I'm learning is that it's not a matter of if I'm going to make a mistake, it's which mistake am I going to make? Because we're going to make a mistake. And I think, okay.
And what being able to laugh about it is fun. It's
good. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
like the bleach towel.
Oh, yes.
I laugh about that.
That's an iconic piece that'll
last in your life. It's literally, I'm going to put it in a museum.
Yeah.
What did Glennon Doyle say? Okay, y'all. So Glennon Doyle is the one who wrote the book Untamed. I freaking love this book. I'm going to give it to you to read. And you'll get to see all my little highlights. But she said, I will keep getting it wrong, which is the closest I can come to getting it right.
Yeah.
She said. People were like, oh, that's actually like racist and that's white privilege. And she's like, oh shit. And she could have gotten really defensive, which is one way that people deal with being called out on their racism. But, and she was wrecked after it, like after her Instagram, like an Instagram following was like, that was so stupid. You really did that wrong, whatever. But she realized that she just had to stay humble, and people who are actually like you're allowed to mess up and that's the only way you can learn. Mm-hmm. And there's we have cancel culture that kind of started in like 2016 or something, or maybe earlier, and we have that, which does not allow for a lot of people to make mistakes both online and in class. Like in college campuses, there can be some really cancel-y people, and you don't actually want to make a mistake, so then you don't learn.
Yes. One of the things I always tell the kids is, okay, do you know a toddler, a little baby or whatever, who's learning how to walk? You had to do the same thing. You had to learn how to walk. What does a baby do? They stand up, they fall. They stand up, they fall. They're not afraid to fall because they don't have that mentality yet that says, oh, I'm bad for falling.
Yeah.
You know, they don't beat themselves up for doing it wrong. And that's why they're able to learn. So a child is a really good person to observe, to see how they go about learning things. You know, they'll do things over and over and over until they get it. And that's what we have to do. But as we get older, you don't get those endorphins, you know, that give you these positive feedbacks right away that people expect to have. And so they get bored with whatever they're doing sometimes.
Yeah.
Like learning. Reading.
Yeah, I definitely, and yeah, like that's why me personally in your class, I think I was just too scared. Like I knew I had an idea of what was the right thing to do, and I internalized that it was not what I was doing. Like anything I could have done would be wrong. So I thought that the smarter decision was to not try, and because then it would save me a lot of embarrassment.
But the other thing for you is in that class, you were one of the higher leveled students in that class also. So the things that we were doing, the reading that we were doing, was not challenging for you. Mm. When we were doing like Empower 3000 and things like that, you were way ahead of the other kids in the class, reading level wise. But it would have been nice to have seen, you know, your opinion about things that we read and stuff like that, and had seen your writing, and then I would have been able to work with you more. And then when you did read books like To Kill a Mockingbird and Romeo and Juliet the play and stuff like that, those things were more at your level.
Okay.
But you still didn't respond to that.
It depends. I mean, I wish I could go back. I wish that it was recorded, because there were certain days where I knew I was like very engaged in the class.
Yeah, but you were also, you had a lot going on at home.
Yeah,
and that was what was in your head a lot of times too. Unless I said, Jenna, get up and read, or Jenna, get up and perform this, and
Jenna, then do a push-up competition with
to wake you up.
So, yeah, oh God, like, come on.
That was the first year.
I'm going to do a whole podcast about how kids should not be up that early.
Well, no, they shouldn't.
Our circadian rhythm, there's a lot of scientific...
School shouldn't start until 10.
Thank you, Ted. I'm glad there's someone... Yes. See, this boomer gets it.
And then only go to school till 2.
Seriously.
Really, I mean, 6 hours?
Thank you.
Where does that come from? The laws are ridiculous.
Who does that benefit? The white man. The capital, the billionaires.
Yes. They think if we're going to brainwash you into being perfect.
Bring the corporate cars and the machine.
Right wing citizens. Who stand the flag.
Robots. Very Fahrenheit 51. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I remember, I'm going to film.
Did I read that with you, Fahrenheit 15?
You did.
Okay.
And you told us.
Pertinent at that time.
And it gets more and more pertinent each day.
Yes.
Wait here, I'm going to. Oh. I just want to have this for Instagram and stuff. So I remember you saying, you're like, see how she puts the shells in her ears before she goes to sleep? You're like, kids, what is that? What are those?
Yes.
through the AirPods. Mm-hmm. But we did read that. That book I enjoyed.
Yeah, because they were burning books.
You really are like, Jenna no, just hates kidding. Literature. No. You know I don't.
No.
But I did act like a little brat who was like reading. No, but paper books are so much better. And Power 3000 was cold and online. And it's I true. Don't respond well to that.
No, me, I don't either.
Like,
so. Yeah.
I'm touching the computer that. Right now. I always hated the computer lab.
Didn't I copy the text for you though? I printed it out. Because that allowed you to be able to highlight
Ted
and to be more physical and engaged with your reading.
That has been dormant in my mind that you did that for me. That's really nice. I remember that now. Yeah. What the hell? He's mad. I was so unappreciative. No,
No, you
that's so nice. You literally, wait, what the frig? I totally forgot about that, but now I remember. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Because you're right, that was an issue I was having. Uh-huh. I hated the computer lab.
Yeah, it's very cold.
Right? Ugh, I hated it. Oh, you did that. What are messages you received growing up and in life about mistakes?
Don't make them.
Really? That's great. Like, same.
You're in trouble if you do.
You're a bad kid.
You're a bad kid. You're stupid. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a freaking character flaw to make mistakes. Yeah, no. That's a lie. And anyone out there who is dealing with deconstructing that belief in their minds, I'm with you. I'm trying to do the same thing because I'm ultra hard on myself when I make mistakes. One mantra, oh yeah, that actually goes right into my next point. One mantra that I, or like thought that I try to think of whenever I get really hard on myself for mistakes is just remembering that nobody else cares about my mistakes. They're all thinking about their own.
Yeah.
And that helps me a lot usually. But then there are some people who are some weird people, mostly trolls online, but there can be people who are really nitpicky about your mistakes, and I understand that those people are that's not normal. That's actually, you really hate yourself if you're nitpicking
someone's
mistake.
Don't you think they're
mistake.
Doing that because to avoid their own?
Yeah, or they when the noise all stops, when they're alone with themselves, they are dealing with some really hard shit. Mm, yeah. And the only thing that could make them feel a little bit in control is to hyper analyze what other people are doing. I know this because after I got into a really tough fight senior year of high school, I kind of started doing that, and I didn't understand who I was because I usually would let people make mistakes all the time, but then I was becoming so hyper judgmental. So that kind of gave me compassion for people who are hyper judgmental because I'm they're hurting, they are in pain. Being in the headspace of someone who would want to, I don't want to say be a bully, but be mean and have an attitude. That's when I experienced that on a larger scale was senior year. But you're right. When I was volunteering, there was someone and I came home and I was talking to Ted and I was I'm enraged. This person, they were just doing it all wrong. It was not correct. I was writhing. I didn't say anything or do anything. I was just annoyed. And Ted said, weren't they just helping though? And you kind of asked more where that belief came from. And then it made a lot of sense to me. Yeah. I didn't look at it that way. I didn't know that it was a message from childhood coming up. And things don't have to be so perfect all the time. But no. I found myself getting so wound up, and I was who is this bitch who's coming up to the surface? Jenna, you're not like that. But I was so irritated, and I realized that's how I talk to myself sometimes, when I'm working or with someone, when I'm taking care of kids and the parents nearby. And it's It's always goes back to a childhood wound, kids.
Yeah.
So that's why
you need to be aware of the childhood wounds when you become a parent. So you make sure you don't follow through. You have to make a conscious decision not to do those things.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's true. You
yeah.
worked through and you knew when you were ready to have kids.
You know.
Yeah. It takes a certain type of awareness, and I just learned this term, shadow work, like dealing with the dark parts of yourself and just like acknowledging them, bringing them out, understanding where they came from, and understanding that that's not true anymore. It's a belief that's not serving you anymore, and it comes from childhood, so you can make your own belief, especially when you're getting a kid and when you're gonna have one, like you're the belief now, like you're the one, the belief maker. It's your island. But do you have any mantras that you do to make yourself feel better when you make a mistake?
Que sera, sera.
Yes. That one rubbed off on me. I love that one.
I love that because it says it all. You know, and it puts you in a bad mood because you can start singing the song. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You're literally, yeah, that is a great one. And it does help you snap out of it. I think things that get you back into your body and out of your head during those moments are good too.
Approach them.
It's a sign of a really good teacher when you're like kind of can mold yourself to what they need at that moment because you are so like attuned to what's happening. I did not know how attuned a lot of my teachers were to my personality. But that's just another
thing. Well, we all believed in you when you didn't.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think a lot of young girls don't believe in themselves in the same way that young boys are allowed to.
They don't.
Not to overgeneralize, but just like when you look at the numbers and you look.
And especially in the classroom. That's right.
But there were certain things, little quirks that I'm like just way harder on myself that now I'm starting to understand where the belief stems from and who does this belief serve? That's a question I'm asking myself now. Like, who benefits from me believing this? So if I kind of boil that down, it's usually like a man who doesn't want women to speak up or a rich man or something, you know, like that's who benefits. Because when you look at the Bible and you ask yourself that one question, who benefits from me believing this? It usually goes to straight men, like white straight man who wants power. It's true. And that's who amended the Bible all those times. Like, that's not even an opinion. That's a fact.
Yeah.
We have all that evidence. So that's something to think about. I know we can't. Yeah, it is. No, straight up. We know this, but what are some beliefs you are breaking down about mistakes?
What
are some beliefs you're breaking down about mistakes? We kind of touched on that. I mean, like what I said with the, like, it's not me, like I'm not a mistake. It's just something that happened, like much like a dentist appointment or like going to the grocery store.
We learn from our mistakes. That's a big one because you can't be afraid of mistakes. If you are afraid, you're never going to go out there and do something.
Which is would be arguably a mistake in itself.
A mistake in itself, but that mistake might be happening also because you're not mentally ready yet, which is a mistake you're going to make over and over and over until one day you say, wait a minute, I can go out and do this. You're finally ready to do it too. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not ready.
Trial and error.
Yeah, so beating yourself up for making mistakes or beating yourself up for not going out there and taking a chance is another mistake. You have to be able to say, okay, well, you know what? I really want to do that, but I'm not ready yet.
For sure.
You know, or instead of saying, I'm not good enough. Yes.
I guess.
Then you have to be realistic.
Yes, it's a balance. But even so, like, and I guess this goes into art more. Like, if you think something's bad, you should just still make it.
When Matt was little, oh, he had the cutest run. He would put up his arms and like do this little run. He thought he was the fastest boy in the world.
Oh my God.
And he, you know, that movie, what was that movie where the boy was really fast?
The Incredibles?
The Incredibles, yeah. So he thought he was one of those guys too. And he was in gymnastics. So he'd go running down the little ramp thing to go do a flip, right? He'd be running, but he couldn't get up the speed because he wasn't really that great of a runner.
But he had that.
But he had
belief.
He had that belief, which propelled him forward, definitely. And I could never say to him, like, see, my parents would say, "Oh, you're no good at that. Just stop it." That's what they would say, right? But yeah. I made sure I didn't say that to him. I would just encourage him as much as possible. And I'd say, "That's really great. Try it like this too, though. Stretch those arms out a little bit, okay? That's going to make you even faster."
Oh, my God.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah. You try to make it encouraging in a way, you know, to help them evolve, I guess.
Yeah, because that's all you want for your kids, is for them to have the tools to evolve. That's why, I mean, and when I become a parent and when I'm caring for the kids that I nanny, I always think back to you're supposed to create an environment where they can mess up and then know that it's okay. Like, you don't need to coddle them and you don't need to say no, stop trying.
And curse words were stupid and shut up, because what does shut up do to somebody?
If you met 6-year-old Jenna
ooh,
but the profanities.
Well, where did you get shut up? Where do you get the word shut up from?
Your elders?
Yeah, when they're yelling.
Well, you're
shut
modeling,
up!
Yeah. You're always modeling everything. And so that's good that you were conscious of that and you didn't only tell him no, we don't say shut up, but you modeled that and you didn't say shut up.
Yeah. Of course, now he curses like a fiend, but that's okay.
Well, but he doesn't do it to the children.
No, he doesn't.
We don't do it to the children. And also, cursing can really help sometimes explore emotions and convey genuine thoughts.
True.
And it's just a matter of, like, when you're using it. If you're talking down to someone like that, that is not, I wouldn't condone that. It could be fun. That we'll focus on in our words episode, though.
Ooh, okay.
But yeah. I'm actually now just imagining, like, if Matt and I, like, met each other, like, on the playground or something, you would probably, like, whisk him away from me.
He'd come and say, "Daddy, she used the S word."
No, I would have used so much of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. I didn't really use stupid. I used, like, I was bad. No.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez. I just had a wide neck.
Your parents cursed a lot.
No, my brothers.
Oh, your brothers, right? You had those older brothers.
Right, when there's 8 years of a difference, you don't have much help.
Yeah, and they're learning how to curse all over the place.
Exactly. Oh my god. But yeah.
Wow, that's true.
I probably traumatized some kids on the playground. I want an alternate universe where that is true, where it's like 4-year-old me, 6-year-old Matt, and I'm like, or 5-year-old me. But yeah, that would be funny. You'd be like, "Get that child away from my boy." And someone brushed her hair. No. Still, so people could argue that I should still brush. Anyway, so what? This is the kicker. This is, I think, where the healing is about to happen. Okay, what do you think when other people make mistakes? And you're a teacher, so I guess I'm asking you, what do you think when your students make mistakes? But also, when other people.
I think in some ways I'm more forgiving with the students, definitely. And all kinds of stuff, you know, that come into play, I guess. But I try not to be that way. I mean, try to be as even-tempered as possible. I think it comes with being even-tempered, though. Whether you're going to, you know, how people...
And knowing where your emotions are coming from. Because we see things as we are, not as they are.
The other thing, the only thing that I really get angry about mistakes or where I lose my temper about it or something or... get really emotional over it is somebody makes the mistake of hurting somebody else, you know.
Yeah,
but
But that's, that's very, that is borderline, like, you could be doing that, that could be a little more purposeful than the mistakes that I'm talking about. But you, we could still forgive people for that. But yeah, that's, that's like tricky territory because you, you could, there's a lot that goes into it. First of all, taking accountability for the mistake. If you hurt someone and then you're not accountable for it, then I'm not letting you off.
Right. You have to be accountable for what you've done, definitely, if you make a mistake. And that's that, that's fine with me. I'll forgive anybody who's
accountable. Yes. And I feel the same way. I'm like, all I ever wanted was some accountability. And I try to be accountable when I'm having an argument with someone. Like, yes, I did that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to change what happened. I'm learning. But there are some people who then I don't think that would be exactly a mistake. That would be like purposely like ignoring things. And
well, also when you do things over and over and over, that's called crazy, they say, right?
Yes, so I've heard that.
So if you keep making that same mistake, you don't try to change it, it doesn't, you don't really care then. Look at Trump.
Yes.
I mean,
I try not to.
The things that he does over and over and over, he just is not self-reflective and he doesn't care.
There's, so with your students, you kind of give more leeway.
I think that, yeah.
That makes sense. Like you're, it's less emotionally charged than if you're having an argument
with and when you're trying you love. To, yeah, when you're trying to get someone to learn and understand something, you're really working with a sensitive part of their head.
True. You know? It's so easy for any sort of bringing up of a mistake for the other party to get very defensive. And
I applaud mistakes. So if a kid says, Mr. Schaeffer, and they say, this is so stupid, but I want to know that. No, that's not stupid. And that question's a good question. You know, no question is stupid. I'm sorry.
I think that's important for students to hear how other people, especially their elders, feel about their mistakes.
My teachers were tough.
Oh, they were really?
Like that. Oh my God, yeah.
Ugh, were they like just hard asses?
Really, yeah. And they made you feel small.
Yeah, they definitely have things going on then, like they didn't solve. You know, if they hurt, Yeah.
There's a lot of teachers like that, though, I guess, because kids tell me that all the time. I'm like, wait. What did they say to you?
Ugh.
And then I'll go talk to the teacher.
And it could be, and that's the thing, like, it could be an ugly moment. And if the teacher's accountable to you, then, hey, we forgive you. We're going to move on, right? Like, that's what I like about the human experience and what I'm trying to learn. Oh.
And sometimes they need a calling to call them on it. So they say, oh, I didn't
even know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And there's, you have to like try to remove judgment as much as possible from the situation, which is hard because we're literally human beings.
Exactly.
But you have to try to do it. Like, it can come out in your tone secretly. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of pride myself on being one of those people who could try to like erase tone from it, but that's still like, that's a skill when you're like a have to be a leader or be a colleague and you be like a manager of someone and bring up something they did, like, or that's scary for the other person to bring up.
Yes.
Like,
and that's not always acceptable either.
No. Yeah. That's a dance depends, too. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know when I worked, like, there's just so many different types of mistakes you can make, but I had a hard time even accepting little criticisms when I was first interning, but then it's like the quantity, like I was constantly making a mistake and that's all you could ever do. So even if my boss's tone sounded like she was fast with me or she was angry, I'm like, she'll be over in a second and so will I, because she's not thinking about my mistakes that much.
It's interesting. When you're talking about this, I'm thinking about the computer, because computer, for me, I'm terrified of making mistakes on it because I feel like I'm going to just wipe everything out all the time. Whereas your generation, you're not afraid of that. You just do everything. You just like click and do all kinds of stuff to the computers and the phones and stuff like that. But that's one place where I do, that old tape comes back about not understanding, not being able to do it right or something, you know.
Well, good for you for knowing that it's the old tape. Seriously. The old tape comes up for me a lot, and sometimes I don't even know it. Sometimes you point it out to me. Sometimes my friends will be like, huh? Why are you so? And I'm like, oh my God, this must be the old tape. But I used to, I will be so forgiving of people's mistakes. All I just want is some accountability, but also, I'm kind of acting like I haven't gotten mad at people and cut them completely out of my life. But.
And then have funerals.
Not actually. Usually in like a day-to-day life type of thing, like it's like those mistakes that I freak out about making myself, like I would never think to punish someone for that little thing. And I started to realize living here, I think, like how cool life can actually be, because you actually are supposed to make all these mistakes. And it's like, so I compared it, I was like, oh, I was on a tightrope for a lot of life. So I was too afraid to try anything because I thought life was a tightrope. So if you like slip off, like you were literally dead, mm-hmm. right? So I was thinking very black and white. And then I realized, wait, life is actually kind of more like baking, because you have to take everything out and you have to make a mess and like move things and make things dirty. And then you are capable of cleaning it up, Jenna. You are capable of cleaning it up. And then at the end, because you made the mess, you have a beautiful loaf.
We're gonna do the outro.
We're gonna do the outro now because we're professionals. And we're found. I hope you guys feel like you can make mistakes.
This has
been very healing. Definitely. Figuring out bit by bit why I failed your class. Thank you guys all for listening.
Thank you for listening. And I hope that you did get something from this.
Yeah.
And know that it's okay to make mistakes, and that if you don't make mistakes, you're not growing.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye.